Welcome to episode 69 of The Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, wars, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey everybody, and welcome to The Iron Agenda, the podcast brought to you by Welt Butter. Welt Butter. When your toast is dry, give Welt Butter a try. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Jason.
Why Welt Butter?
Why not Welt Butter?
Oh, I can't believe it's not Welt Butter. Welt Butter.
Welp. Welp.
Oh.
Welp.
Welp. Okay. Gotcha. Fair enough.
We're without Tim today.
We are.
That chair looks really, it's like, when you look in the room, I know you guys obviously can't see it, but there's like a light gleaming down on where Tim usually sits.
I set the chair up there thinking, oh yeah, Tim's going to be here. I just totally forgot that he wasn't. So
yep. It's so empty. It's like, is it Elijah?
It's like Elijah. He's going to come drink the wine. But even more so, we don't have to worry about someone tripping all over our crap and like hitting the mic stand all the time. So
that's true.
We got that going for us today.
Yep. Yep. That's all right. With the magic of editing, we never have that in this episode anyway.
That's right. Let's see how good Dave is at editing.
Oh, dick.
I actually didn't even mean to hit that,
but I did. I'm leaving that in.
So self-fulfilling here. It is the new year, and we had a contest that ended last year. All right. So we have a winner for the contest.
All right. Who won?
We've chosen it, and the guy's name is David Ingram.
Awesome. Congratulations, David. We'll have to shoot him a message through Facebook and get his address so we can ship a shirt to him.
Sounds good.
There you go.
So thanks everybody for entering.
I'm still working on trying to get our feed into the Facebook page. I have not found a plugin that works for me yet. It's frustrating. There's a lot of plugins that let you do an RSS into your page or your wall. But that's not what we want to do. We want to go to like a separate page and it's not working for me.
So.
Oh well. I'm working on it though.
There's more important things in life, Dave.
Like what?
Like the $50,000 war ball tournament at Gen Con this year.
Oh, wow. Man.
This is not a joke. Warball is having, it's like War Stones.
Or Stone.
Let's be PC here.
Yeah.
War Stones.
I think it's just Stone.
War Stone.
There's only one.
Yeah, we should be PC. It's the Conflict Spherical Object.
Okay.
There you go. Well, they're having a big tournament. Why the hell do they get $50,000 tournaments?
Because they're backed by Hasbro.
There you go. Is it Hasbro? I thought, well, it was Duncan.
Duncan, sorry.
Duncan, yeah.
And they got all that yo-yo money.
That yo-yo money is just—it's just coming in,
and sitting in the bank,
and going away, and coming in.
They've just been waiting. Oh, I got it, David. That's funny.
There you go. So, any other news?
Got a voicemail from Flanzer or from Norbert.
Yep.
What did he say?
Well, let's play that now.
Hey, old boys. This is Norbert Brunberg calling in from the NJSOBs. Wanted to wish you all a happy New Year. Hope you guys have a great year ahead of you. Had a lot of fun on New Year's celebrating. Also wanted to send a particular congratulations out to Josh for his bogus January 1st birthday announcement. What's next, Josh? You're going to start stealing lollipops from kids? I mean, seriously. All right, guys. Have a great year, and looking forward to listening to all your podcasts.
I wasn't going to tell everybody, but Norbert kind of pulled out. I am actually planning on a big campaign for ripping off kids on Easter and Halloween to get their candy.
Wow, I know you're a big Halloween guy. You like the whole, decorations and scaring kids.
Yeah.
You're just going one step further.
Yeah, I gotta top myself from year to year, and this is the way I'm gonna do it.
The only way to top yourself each year is to just go after younger and younger kids.
You are an asshole. Yeah.
And he said that I had a fake birthday or something on Facebook. I had the wrong birthday, just so, people wouldn't know my birthday.
There you go.
I accidentally made it public. And so I had like two or three people say happy birthday.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Kind of
nice. Yep. So happy not birthday.
Thank you.
Happy unbirthday.
That's right. But how about this Hordes game?
How about it?
I thought we're done with Hordes. We covered all the real factions and we're ready to go.
We haven't covered minions yet.
Covered all the real factions.
We haven't covered trolls yet.
I stand by my original assertion. Are we really going to talk about the trolls today?
We're going to talk about the trolls today.
Damn it.
So talk about the trolls, Splinter.
I'm going to go play my Hobbit. You guys...
Dude, I walked in and Dave was playing Lord of the Rings online. He has this
You're back doing that?
Oh, I've been doing it for a while, yeah.
He's got this little Hobbit, spear-throwing Hobbit. I just can't imagine him taking on any serious opponents.
Hey, my first very vicious battle was against a shrew. And let me tell you, I snuck up in that shrew and chucked that spear so hard it fell over dead.
That's impressive that you could actually hit the shrew with the spear. I mean, he's pretty skilled, I guess, but... Still.
Did you get the shrew pelt and trade it for something?
Yes. Actually, I did.
Really?
What happens if someone runs at you with a tower shield? How does your guy react?
Well, if they fail their block check, then it goes through the shield and stabs him in the face.
No, it does not. You can't go through a damn steel tower shield.
Apparently, I can.
Ugh. Well, anyways, Trolls Mark II.
Okay.
We've got them on the block. By the way, today is the what? What's the day? I don't even know. The
third?
The third. So just in case, by the time this drops, there's another update to these guys. So be it. But I will say that as far as updates are concerned, the Trolls have actually been getting the least amount of updates in each update, it seems. That's just to me. Since the snacking update, there really hasn't been lots of updates to the Trolls. So I think that they're pretty happy with how it goes. Whether or not people are happy with it, that's another story, but I'm actually rather smitten with it. I think it's swell.
Really?
I do.
Is it keen?
It is keen. It is really good. It's fucking awesome. I love every single entry. I've said this a few times around the local game store. There's never been a War Machine or Hordes faction that I have felt you can take any item in their entire army, you know, army component, like any component of their army, and put it in a list and be happy with it. I believe that Trolls are the first one of those. I cannot think of a model that you can put into a list that I do not like from this army.
I'm trying to think of something the Protector I don't like. Well, I'm not an artillery fan, so that pretty much counts for every faction, so.
Nope, not Thumper.
No, I mean.
Oh, but.
Yeah.
Would you feel the Thumper?
Maybe.
Would you be mad if a Thumper was in your list?
No, I wouldn't be mad.
There you go. It's pretty good. So here we go. Let's dive in.
So the first Warlock up is Madrek, and we've all seen him a lot. He's the starter box Warlock. I haven't seen him played a whole lot locally, at least in Mark 1 incarnation. Do you think he'll get more play in Mark 2?
Oh my god. He will get lots of play. He is amazing. Just to note, I went to a tournament in Kansas City a couple weeks ago. That's why I wasn't on the podcast.
How was that? Explosivo ran a good tournament?
Yeah, Explosivo ran a great tournament. It was a lot of fun. Lots of fun people. It was really cool because, it was one of those things where we paid a little bit more, but we got unlimited drinks and we also got,
barbecue
and, chips and cookies. And it was a lot of fun.
Good deal.
And the barbecue was really good. Just give a shout out to Game Cafe in Kansas City. Excellent place. If you're around the area, definitely go and check it out. I actually ran Madrek that tournament. He ran every turn? I did.
Okay.
Now, did you say this was a Mark 1 or Mark 2 tournament?
This was a Mark 1 tournament. It was 999 points. One list, and I ran Madrek, and he performed excellently. I ended up getting second. I did lose to an Epic Krios player, Matt from Springfield. It was really just the yin to my yang. I have the armor. And then Madrek made like champions were like tough to hit, and then he brought the Weapon Master auto hitting army. So it just kind of didn't go. And then I have a lot of destruction effects in my army, and he had like errants, and then he had things like Sacrosanct like slowing me down. So it was a really excellent matchup. But in the end he came out victorious. I actually had a couple of times where I could have pulled some shenanigans out, but damn Seneschal. I think I could have won the game if the Seneschal didn't exist, because I killed him, but he was still there in the way, and you couldn't do anything about it, so that really sucked. But it was excellent, and Madrek got, he ended up taking second, and so in Mark 1, I was actually keen. I really enjoyed him. I feel like people gave his feet a bad rap, and I think now it's going to be exploited a lot more with some of the things that happened in Mark 2. He really didn't change too much from his original incarnation. He gained a rat. Same, armor, defense, command, speed, and all that stuff. The scroll, did change. It is, you declare it after the attack roll is made instead of after the attack is resolved completely. So that got a little worse, but it's still a free,
Right.
I mean, yeah, you can't get the lucky damage roll out of the way if someone like really does it, but if a beast, if a heavy charges you, you're going to be shunting that if he hits you.
Well, they're not going to charge you though, because you got Talisman of Subdual. Well,
sure, if a Jack charges you. One really big change is instead of, he used to have critical, God, I can't think of what it was called now. But anyways, now he has critical grievous wounds. Before, on a crit, you could not transfer the damage. Now it's grievous wounds. When you crit, he loses tough, can't heal or be healed, and cannot transfer damage for one round. So that helps out your entire army. And because his axe can be thrown, this critical grievous wounds is going to be a really, really big deal. Because you can go slap some, warlock, and then have everything else in your army go into melee with it and really chew it up without them being able to transfer. So it's really cool. One thing he did lose was the ricochet on his axe. A lot of people are sad about that, but you know what? In the end, on regular Madrek especially, it wasn't that big of a deal. As far as the spells are concerned, he still has Stonefall, a pretty worthless AoE, but an AoE nonetheless. It changed to Knockdown instead of they forfeit their activation, Concussion. Surefoot is the same, except for it became an upkeep. So that's good because it helps his fury management out, but of course there are a couple ways to get rid of upkeeps, so that does hurt it.
Steal them and use them against you.
Or do that. He is no longer immune to Krios, now that Krios can get rid of it, because Surefoot definitely really screwed him. He gained an amazing spell. He stole it from Makeda, I believe, called Carnage. In your control area, you gain +2 to melee attack rolls against enemy models. Or against enemy models in his control area. So.
Is that melee only?
Yes, melee. And that plus his feet really lends itself to more devastation. You will see.
If your opponent's clumped, you're going to walk through them.
Yeah, you're going to walk through them. And you're going to have mat 9 champions, possible mat 11 if you choose to with the fell collar.
Yeah.
You're going to have mat 9 mold.
What's the hero's mat?
8.
So okay, hero. So he becomes 10.
He becomes on 10. On his feet.
What's his pop plus strength?
12, Weapon Master.
Weapon Master. So we're talking on average damage roll, what, 22-ish?
Yep,
22. Okay, not on charge.
Not on charge.
If you have a shield wall, Iron Fane Pikeman in shield wall, standing in front of Madrak, if there's a hero nearby, they're all dead if Madrak beats.
It's not snakes to hit and then auto-kill.
Because, you know, the hero's just going to walk up and start mowing them down.
Well, the good thing about the hero, though, is when you walk up to that shield wall Iron Fane Pikeman, you're going to thresher anyways, and you're going to take out most of them. But yeah, and Thresher also lends itself to helping out in Madrak's feet as well because you're giving yourself more chances to hit. So you're not going to gain more attacks, but when you go up to a unit, you're going to make sure you're hitting at least something. Also, now that the Axer has reach, that's going to be more beneficial because Crusher is definitely very good with reach. Additionally, Mulg. Mulg now, we'll talk about, he gained Overtake. So now with Crusher, you would be moving 2 inches every time you hit and kill instead of just one. Definitely powerful. We're moving on to his epic incarnation. He looks the most same out of any of the people. He lost Ricochet, obviously, and gained Grievous Wounds. But that was a Madrak across the board kind of deal. He lost Stonefall, which was the spell that regular Madrak had as well, and gained Vortex of Destruction. I'm not a fan of this. Warpath, in my opinion, is one of the best spells in the game, especially with all of the lack of out-of-turn movement. Warpath becomes incredibly more valuable, and as beasts become better and better, this spell becomes better and better because you're putting a better model in position to do something that's really damaging. Vortex of Destruction is also a self-upkeep, so you can't have both. And it really makes me angry because I never want to cast Vortex of Destruction. Unless I'm in melee with something that I'm going to be attacking, which, you know, that does happen, but most of the time I want to warpath something into position to be able to get the kill. That's the way I play Madrak.
Well, the one thing that I can see about this is because warpath is upkeep, you could upkeep it from the previous turn. And one thing I could see happening, assuming you can get in the situation, I'm not sure exactly how hard this would be, was, I mean, if stuff activates before Madrak and they can run up to the warlock and then he can, you know, drop warpath for Vortex of Destruction and then either charge or get up there himself and feat, well, then everybody makes an attack and they get boosted damage rolls.
Absolutely. I mean, that's definitely a very, you know, powerful thing. One thing that I've thought of, too, is if I activate Madrak last, although I like having Warpath on my turn because it does say once per turn, so if I make a free strike and kill something, I can technically Warpath something, or if I have any kind of out-of-turn attacks, I can Warpath something. I was thinking maybe cast Vortex of Destruction at the end of a turn, and then the next turn being able to run Madrak 12 inches, 14 if you rush, after upkeeping Vortex, and having yourself, you know, or maybe dumping some of your Fury into the Creelstone Bear, Vortex of Destructioning, running him, then running the Creelstone Bear, giving +1 strength. Now whoever attacks the model that he ran into combat with, like if it's a Warlock, you're getting boosted attack rolls and +1 strength.
So just quickly, like, you said
boosted damage roll, sorry.
I'm sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you, but you said didn't understand right. You said it would trigger during a free strike because it says only during your activation.
Oh, it does now?
Yeah, whenever you make the melee range attack during your activation, then the movement will happen.
Okay. So his feet doesn't grant movement either now.
No, it doesn't. That is a big change. I didn't realize that. Okay. Well, that's okay. The spell is still awesome, and it's still going to be used the same way. But now I can't, you know, you can't, like, go in there and feat and kill, and then move 3 inches and kill some more. But it definitely is still a very powerful spell.
I think anything that can give the slower, well, not that slow, but still the slower-ish troll beasts you know, a much bigger charge range. I mean, combine a Warpath move, like you're, you know, an Impaler kills a solo, all of a sudden the Mauler moves 3 inches, he gets rushed, and now he's just charging way upfield. I mean, anything to get those guys up in the opponent's face quickly is, you know, nothing but beneficial for the trolls.
Exactly. I mean, you said it, you know, you said slow, and then you're like, slower-ish. They are slow, but it's just that the things like Warpath, the things like Rush and their army that are making them move faster is really going to make them deceiving. And if anything, that lends to being better than being a fast beast, because now you're able to have deceiving threat ranges, and being able to move around corners is going to be really helpful for them. So we move on to Horluck, the old man. Once again, similar stat line. He did gain an armor, however. His feet did become twice as good as it was, essentially. Not necessarily, but essentially twice as good. And it moved from D3 damage every time you spend a Fury or Focus, or if you're forced, to D6. This is a huge jump. That means if you cast a 3 Focus spell and I roll 3 sixes, I'm dealing 18 damage to you. It pretty much locks down spellcasting. And if you have a lot of beasts in combat, especially if you've damaged a beast, it's hard for them to retaliate because they're going to be taking D6 damage every time. It's possible they get one-shotted. So, it says if a Maul was, damaged as a result of making an attack, the target Maul suffers no further damage or effects from the attack. So, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, it says the spell or animus does not take effect if you're destroyed. So, that's pretty amazing that even if they try to make the attack and they had to spend a Fury or Focus to do it, they don't get it off. So that's really cool. He additionally gained Goad, an amazing ability from old Epic Horluck. Goad allows you to force a war beast in your battle group to move 2 inches after you destroy a Maul with a melee attack. Excellent. Once again, more deceiving movement. He gained powerful attack, and he lost his like Fury plus, you know, he used to add his Fury to the damage rolls of his melee attack. He gained powerful attack. Essentially a wash. You never really want Epic, or you never want Horluck in combat anyways. As for his spells, Banishing Ward, excellent spell. You know, you can put it on a unit and they can't be targeted by spells or animi. And also, it gets rid of upkeep spells. Always valuable. Additionally, although I'm going to skip a spell to do it, he gained Purification, a kind of mass, you know, cleansing, just like Krios has. Just like Krios, you know, you see Banishing Ward, you see Fortune, they're good upkeeps, and you would be getting rid of your own, but if it's detrimental, like a Crippling Grasp, you need to get rid of it, and maybe you might not be in Banishing Ward range. Purification's going to help you out. Back up one. Recently, in the last update, he gained Fortune, an excellent spell he had in the first in Mark 1. Troll players should be happy with this. Fortune's an excellent spell. With the increased mats and the way that, you know, our models work now, I think that Fortune lends itself to being even better. It's an excellent spell and should not be overlooked. Rampager, another excellent spell. You take control of a war beast, an enemy non-character war beast, and you get to move it and make an attack. That's huge. You can turn it around. You can make them attack their friends. You can finish off something that you couldn't finish.
You just get them out of the way.
Get them out of the way. I know that I've moved things closer to essentially once again increase my threat range. So this is a really big deal, especially on something like an Angelius when you can get them 7 inches out of the way. It's a huge deal, and I think that spell is absolutely amazing. Stranglehold, you know, it's just a forfeit movement or action. If you're damaged by it, solid spell. On to Epic Horluck. Once again, you get the +1 armor. His feet did change. It used to double your speed. Now you get to charge, slam, or make trample power attacks for free. And if you do charge or make a slam or trample power attack, you gain +3 inches of movement. Yes, it is much worse, but do not be fooled.
It's also a fury efficiency.
You do gain some fury efficiency. And also, the movement, when I first saw it, I was kind of upset. That just didn't give you +3 inches of movement to your beasts. But you know what? It really, really is a big deal. +3 inches is huge. It's more than half of our speed for our beasts. So, you know, we should be happy for it. And it still lends itself to some ridiculous shenanigans. Still has Goad, Hyper Regeneration, and Tough. Attuned Spirit is a new thing that he gained. Once per activation, he can cast the Animus of a Dire Troll Warbeast in its battle group as a spell without spending Fury. That increases his Fury output to 9 each turn. casting the Earthborn's Animus on himself, giving himself armor or defense or even speed if he's in rough terrain is a nice, you know, nice touch. A free rage is obviously never bad. And Mulg's Animus, can actually be not bad either. And we'll get to that, soon if, you know, it's very possible that actually ends up lending itself to be useful. He still has agitation, still has primal shop. Refuge is a new spell, or refuge. What do you think it is?
Refuge, I think.
I think it's refuge too, because that's how you spell refuge. But you never know. I don't really get why it's called. I guess you move away. I guess that could be refuge. What you do is if when target friendly faction model hits an enemy with an attack during its activation, immediately after its combat action ends, the affected model can make a full advance. So you can put it on a beast to gain better position or get yourself out of charge range of something if you go in and you don't want to be left out in the wind. I think it's a pretty excellent upkeep. Still a Sunder Spirit. And then Wild Aggression is a mini full throttle from Darius, or Butcher now, I suppose. What it does is target-friendly Warbeast and its battle group can run, charge, or power attack, slam, or trample without being forced, and you gain boosted melee attack rolls. Absolutely devastating on things like Mulg, where you already have high mat and you want to be able to hit people, you know, much better. And I think it's pretty excellent.
I don't like him. That's okay. At least he's not sending beasts 20 inches across the table at me.
It's true. He's only sending 15 inches across the table.
That's a little bit better.
It's true. It's true. Grisel is probably the troll warlock who changed the least. Her feat is still kind of similar.
It's just worded a lot.
It's worded a longer. A lot longer. And also, now Cacophony is only in her command range. So technically it's a nerf, but you know what? Cacophony is really powerful, and I think that that it's, you know, still going to be just as good.
I thought it was her command range anyway, with the exception of when she feated it was her control.
That's what I'm saying. On her feat turn, it's still command range.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You still do Cacophony on the feat turn in the command range. The fell calls are all the same still. She still has tough, obviously. Still got the hand cannon. Instead of having def on her weapon, she gained crit slam. I think it's going to be more powerful because when you need it, it's going to help you out. She still has Calamity, and then Rift is a new 4-inch AoE. She used to just have Uproar, I believe is what it's called.
Yes.
And now it's just Rough Terrain. So, you know what? It's probably going to be even better. Grim, same stats, but his feat definitely changed. I really like it. It's kind of like a mini TB kind of feat thing.
Yeah, it's really – actually pretty mean.
It's a lot meaner than people think.
I mean, it's speed debuff alone. I mean, it's minus 2 speed. That slows three you speed. Down. 3 speed. But not only does it slow you down, I mean, just like Breastler, you can't charge. And that's everything within 12 inches of him.
Exactly. Also, minus 3 defense, you can think of it on the flip side as plus 4 matter rat, or plus 3 matter rat. That's going to be really huge for your beasts. I see a trend, definitely. I always had a problem with troll beasts and how you really couldn't increase their mat. Now, you can. This is another way that they're getting better mat, and you're hitting more often with your high-power beasts. Additionally, something that you can't frown at is no special attacks. I know last time I played Grim, I played against a Legion player, and he had a couple of Angels on the board, and I put a bunch of stuff in combat with him, and he was really frustrated when he found out he couldn't thrust, and he couldn't charge, and he couldn't really float around because I locked him in combat. So definitely great. The Headhunter gained a magical weapon, which is really cool, and he sells Bait the Line. And then the Snare Gun did change. Instead of pinning someone down within 2 inches, it now knocks down Warbeasts. It's not as good, but you know it's still something, a good way to knock down a Warbeast. One big change to him is him gaining Hunter and Arcane Precision instead of having Eagle Eye and Alchemic Goggles. Arcane Precision now lets him ignore Stealth when he forfeits his movement. Obviously not as strong, but if you really need to pop a pesky stealth model, it's a good way to go. Hunter is awesome because now he does ignore cover, which is really powerful because you can't really hide from Grim now. He'll also ignore force and concealment when determining line of sight. His spell list is maybe the thing I'm frustrated the most with as far as all troll warlocks are concerned. It got raped, in my opinion. Mantrap was an amazing spell.
Mantarp!
And it really wasn't too... I mean, I don't think it was anything to complain about. You still had the damage. It cost 3. He's only focused 6, and you had to boost... Pretty much, you had to spend 5 fury on the one spell. So, I thought...
Now, you were using that usually to knock down, though, right?
Correct.
Well, what about with your feet, though? Your feet basically gives you 3 mat. I mean,
well, it... Yes, I understand you're saying. Knockdown is still something, you know, that maybe he can knock it down because he can see it through a forest and it's going to be easier. I don't know. And you only get 1 feet anyways. Lock the target changed completely. The old Lock the Target was replaced by Mark for Death, but Lock the Target now says you cannot run, charge, or be placed for one round if you're damaged by it. It's only POW 10. It's kind of, as Z says, a Zot spell. In the end, I really don't think it's that great. Marked for Death is minus 2 defense and losing corporeal and stealth and cannot gain these abilities while affected by Marked for Death. And you can target the model regardless of line of sight. Old Lock the Target was a million times better than this. But the biggest problem I have with this spell is its range 8. Obviously for Epic Denegra, not that big of a deal. She's got Arcanodes to sling it around, and no one's going to be mad about it. But with Krim, you have a ranged Warlock, and you want to be within 8 inches of something that you want to kill because you're trying to get to lose stealth or incorporeal. That means that whatever it is, if it's that big of a threat and you want to kill it, if you fail, it may just be able to kill you next turn. So
the one thing about it, too, is that assuming you're going to play kind of a firing line playstyle with Grim, you're going to put a Creel Stone next to him, and it could very easily just do the no incorporeal aura.
And
basically make half that spell almost useless, because if you have – what's the range in the aura if you have full people and the UA in 11. That unit? So further than his spell.
Yeah.
By 3 inches.
And also you can run them in place. I mean, I don't really play the stone with him as much because I like a more mobile army. But what it also comes down to is, yeah, it's range 8, but unless you stand still, you can't ignore the stealth. So it's not really, I don't think it's being too beneficial.
Yeah, I might just be trying to justify it here, but I can imagine an instance where, say, somebody ran their blood trackers up to get Grim, and one happened to be there, and so he cast it on the unit, and everybody backfields now not stealthing, so maybe you can pick them off. But, that's just one example. There might be others. But, yeah, in general, you're right. The range is so short.
But typically, though, the Charles don't have that great of accurate fire anyway.
I do now, I think. If you're going to have pigs out there, and you're always going to have an impaler or two, even the Blitzer now, people would bring the Blitzer more. I think there's more gunfire.
Well,
I guess
with his feet, okay.
Yeah, especially with the feet, sure.
Yeah, I thought a good fix to Grim would have been just allowing, I think Spread the Net should have made people lose incorporeal and stealth, and then he didn't need to gain Arcane Precision, which is that ability they gave him. I think that'd be a fine change, and while his feet may be powerful, feats are made to be powerful. I can think of a million more powerful feats. And then you have Return Fire. It changed a lot. It only costs 1 now, and it says when target-friendly faction model is targeted by an enemy range attack, after the attack is resolved, the affected model can make 1 normal ranged or melee attack. Then it expires.
So it no longer triggers on melee attacks.
It no longer triggers on melee attacks, and no longer triggers on missed either. Mm-hmm. So if you shoot Grim, he just gets to shoot you back.
You used to be able to target a unit with it, though, couldn't you?
That's right. True. You could target an entire unit. It was really cool on champs, for example, to put them in base-to-base, and then if you're attacking them, they're attacking you back if you miss. It's a pretty cool ability still, and I think Return Fire is pretty solid, though. On to Borka, a very controversial piece in the troll community right now. I think he's excellent. His feat gains people who begin their activation within 2 in his control area plus 2 inches of movement, and Warbeast in his battle group beginning their activation in the control area can make power attacks while being forced and roll an additional die on power attack damage rolls and collateral damage rolls. I think
slams
it's
slams and tramples. That's great.
Tramples especially, and also because you're gonna be killing, and with the dire trolls, you're gonna be snacking if they're living. It's very, very potent. If they're taking free strikes, you're healing yourself, and also it's really great with someone like the Mauler. You can go and make your melee attacks, and when you grab and smash, you're getting the additional die. So I think it's really cool, and it's really great. He gained a POW on his weapon. And Mosh Pit, his signature spell, changed completely. It used to kind of push people around and led to a lot of confusion. Now, while in this model's control area, friendly models gain knockdown on their melee weapons.
I think this is overpowered.
I think this is overpowered, too. And I think that if it doesn't change, I think it's really great.
I think it should be a single unit, model unit upkeep. I would buy that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely that would definitely be really cool. Is it overpowered? Like you said, I think it might be. But, I mean, people are still complaining about Borka. I don't know why, because I've played him I've played him a few times in the field test. Every time, he's just been a menace. Last game I played, I killed a Tenacity what was I playing? Tenacity Absalonia, just by being able to charge with the Axer with ridiculous range. I hit once, knocked her down, and that was the end of the game. So it was really, you know, it was really powerful, and I think Bork is great. He also gets the keg carrier. Pour a pint allows you to gain stumbling drunk, which is whenever you get you can't be knocked down, and whenever you're hit, you get to pushed D3 inches around. Also, top off is a really cool ability too. It gives Keg Slayer a fury point. The biggest complaint though is that the keg carrier is speed 5 and Bork is speed 6, so it's hard to get into base to base with him to use top off, which I do understand. But he is carrying a keg. We can't forget. So, I mean, while pigs are usually speed 6, a keg-carrying pig...
Isn't a lot of your army speed 5, though? I mean...
Yes, but that's irrelevant, because you can only use top off with Borka.
No, what I'm saying is that Borka can still move with his effective speed 5 and probably keep up with the army for the most part until he has to charge and hopefully end the game.
Trolls don't really ever walk. They're either running or charging, or they're locked in combat. So I think that that's kind of an irrelevant point.
Trolls are very intense. They don't travel
when do
half
I need,
fast.
When do I need to saunter? You know, it's not. It's never. I mean, the first turn you
the
run,
guy has a fur collared coat. I think he saunters as much as he damn well pleases.
Yeah, but he saunters 6, and the pig carrier only saunters 5.
Well, if you're not going to use top off in turn 1, you can always run the pig carrier up and keep him a little bit in front, and then over the course of a turn or two, have him shift position, so to speak, and still be in base to base.
Absolutely. I mean, it's I like to run him first turn, and then you can kind of match up your speeds. So,
but there's no real disincentive for me to kill the kick carrier now, right?
Yeah. So go ahead and kill that little bitch.
Okay.
There you go. Moving on to Kalandra, she changed a bit too. Her feat allows you to reroll a 1 or 2 on an attack roll once. That has been changed from a previous incarnation where you just rerolled 1s and 2s all
day. Which was stupid as hell.
It was stupid, but the feat is still powerful, and it still lends to more crits. It still lends to better hits. I still really enjoy it. She lost a couple of her abilities, mainly the precognitive awareness where you get +2 defense from range and magic attacks. That is missed, I must say. I think that her survivability went into the shitter, but her abilities may be able to make up for that. She sells Fate Blast, where you can reroll an attacker damage roll by spending one of her fury, which is really sweet. You still have Befuddle, and if anything, it's better. It's now range 10. This spell is the most powerful spell in the Troll army. It is amazing. Cast it every turn if you want. It is stupid. I think it's better than Starcrossed. Befuddle will win you games. It will turn people. It's essentially a defense debuff by turning people around. It is a speed increaser by moving them closer to you. It can move things like, I remember I played Josh once with Kalandra, and what I do is I, with the new command ranges, I took half of his wolves unit and moved him back. Half of his wolves unit moved it forward. It left the leader in the middle, turned around.
And killed the leader.
And I killed the whole front line. And then there was just a bunch of wolves in the back that were turned around. It was pretty amazing. The spell is great. Bullet Dodger is kind of like precognitive awareness. Lucky Day was the spell that she used to have. It is now an upkeep. Or no, it wasn't upkeep before. Sorry. Unfortunately, now it's only range attacks and not magic attacks as well. So it did get a little worse, but it kind of... They were, like, you know, putting it in line with Epic Magnus' spell. So, understandable. Force Blow, it costs 1 more than it used to. It used to be called Misfortune, and it was the same spell, except for it had 1 less POW. You know, whatever. It's a knockdown spell. I can't complain. Soothing Song, still amazing. And Starcrossed, still amazing as well. She's a really solid Warlock, and, you know, you gotta keep a little bit more of an eye on her, but I think she's great.
So you're happy with the Warlocks overall?
Yeah, I'm really happy with them. You know, Grim, like I said, kind of disappointing spell list, but still a wonderful Warlock. Epic Madrak is one of my favorite, fluff-wise, but he may be one of the ones that's lacking the most, I think. But yeah, I think that overall, excellent Warlocks, and, it's a field day, you know, I'm trying to choose. It's a fun time to be able to play any Troll Warlock. The Beasts, we'll keep it really short and simple. Really big changes to elementals on a whole is they gained an immunity to their ability, like fire, corrosion, or ice, whenever they cast their animus on them, that or on a model. That is huge, especially the pyre troll, because there's a lot of fire in the game. You got zealots, you got blight breath from Legion, you've got you know,
just fire continuous Vanquisher effects.
Yeah, fire continuous effects. It's really powerful. And it's going to be a really big deal. I think the Pyre Troll is going to increase in value greatly. He also has auto fire on his AoE now. Also really powerful. You put the Impaler's Animus on him. You hope for a lucky deviation. You light some stuff on fire. Really, really great. Also, you don't have to kill models that you're lighting on fire because it's very likely that they'll die the next turn. If they wouldn't die to your low blast damage, they'll probably die to a POW 12. So, really cool ability. Additionally, he gained an a POW on his open fist. The Slag Troll, very interesting changes to him. He was the only elemental troll to gain a mat and a rat, which is pretty sweet because he does have two POW 13s that are open fists. Pretty excellent. Also, his range 8 POW 12 additional die against non-living models range attack is really great. It also does cause corrosion.
He does a point more, though.
What?
I mean, he's a point more than the other elementals.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But that was – the Winter Troll was the same. They dropped him. So it's an interesting change for him. Acidic Touch is also the same as Flaming Fist, except for it causes corrosion. I'm not sure how I feel about them copying the Animus, but it's still another damage buff, and with trolls, you can't get enough melee damage buffs. The Axer is the best war beast, maybe in the game. He has the offensive output, the defensive capabilities, and an amazing Animus that can really just put any beast to shame, in my opinion. For 6 points, you're getting a steal, and, I put one in my list before I make the list. Like, all of my Warbeast points always go to Axers. If I have 6 Warbeast points, I get a free Axer. If I get 5 Warbeast points, I get a 1-point Axer. That's how my lists go every time. Rush is invaluable for slow models. It also gains Pathfinder, which we don't have a lot of. Reach and Thresher, you can't complain about, especially when it's attached to a POW 15.
I can complain about it. You can. I don't have it.
But troll players cannot complain about it. It is amazing. Anyone who's played Tartarus knows the capabilities of a Reach Thresher attack. It's stupid. And now we have 2 of them in our army. Now the hero gained it as well. So you're going to be able to take out swaths of infantry, and you're going to let the troll heavy hitters take out the big guys. Axer is excellent. I can't say enough about him. The Bouncer, I really like the Bouncer. He gained that whole, I was a bodyguard, so now I gain shield guard. That kind of thing that kind of happened across the entire board. Shield guard's excellent. You obviously love that as well. But one cool thing that I really like about him is new bump. Bump now pushes you 3 inches directly away instead of 2. So there's like no way that you can, you know, be attacking someone afterwards after being bumped. I really love the Animus, especially with the hardiness of trolls. I think that you can cast it a little more than you think you would, and just to really kind of piss off players and really make them have to position their models correctly to be able to avoid the bump by kind of sneaking them at an angle through one of their other models to prevent being pushed back. I think it's a really cool ability, and for 5 points, I think he's a solid war beast. The Impaler is still the Impaler. He lost a defense, but other than that, you know, he's looking great. Yeah, Critical Smite does slam models at half rate now if they're larger compared to before when it was a full, but it still knocks them down. You still have Far Strike. He's still just a solid reach war beast in the melee front as well. Excellent model. Still take him all the time. On to the Winter Troll. The guy has a spray attack. If you have a spray attack in this game, it automatically became better. His spray attack is now better. Additionally, he did gain the POW on his open fist, just like the Pyre Troll, and he has immunity cold. There's a lot of good cold attacks in the game. I think that having immunity cold is very powerful. Additionally, he has Rhyme all the time. This can get really annoying. Running 2 Winter Trolls side by side are almost invulnerable to any attack. If a Behemoth charges you and he hits you, he halves your armor to 8. He's 4 plus the roll. On average, he deals 14 damage. And now the Behemoth is stationary. No model in the game can one-shot these guys unless it's a ridiculous critical decap from, like, Ryas or something like that. It's a really, really strong war beast, and I think something that people really enjoy. And then you've got the Blitzer, who's an excellent model. You know, a lot of people did not like him in Mark 1. I didn't like him in Mark 1. But now the fact that you can boost your range attacks, it becomes really excellent. They did drop his range down to 10, but with Far Strike from the Impaler, you've got a range 14, Rat 5, POW 13 with D3 attacks that are boostable. He's an excellent model that I think adds a a deceiving ranged element. I mean, range 10 is essentially one of our longest ranges on a threatening attack, you know, especially one that's boostable like this.
Yeah, and his claws, his fists, they're only power 15. And that, while that is deceivingly low compared to the other dire trolls, combined with snacking, it basically can deny an opponent fury if you go against their beasts. So even though it's not made as a melee beast, it can actually have a big impact on the game by doing that, perhaps deceptively, if, it's, if your opponent's not expecting it.
Yeah, definitely the best melee beast that has a good ranged attack, I would say, in the game.
I would disagree.
That I can think of. I mean, I guess...
Carnivian.
Okay, that's true. But he's a melee beast. I would say the Blitzer's a ranged beast.
Okay.
I would say the Carnivian's a melee beast.
Carnivian's going to get as many attacks as the Blitzer is in range.
Maybe.
10-inch spray. That's going to get three guys.
Most likely, I would say it's either more or less. It depends. I mean, it's...
Well, yeah, it has to be more or less. That encompasses
it could be the same.
Everything.
Could be the same. What I meant by more or less is that... Sometimes you spray for one model, and sometimes you go for the whole, you know, bunch of guys. It's
and the area you cover is different too. Obviously, you're spraying more or less in a straight line, and you can stagger yours around.
How does Kyle like those sprays?
Kyle likes them just fine. Yum, get in my belly.
She actually didn't die. She just vanished. She spirit doored out.
Yeah, that was her double.
Gotcha.
Her doppelganger.
Gotcha.
Absolutely. But yeah, as you said, Josh, rapid fire is really cool too, because unlike strafe, you can select your targets.
So and I just actually noticed this. You don't have to take all of your attacks. You can choose to take one of the three if you want.
Sure, sure.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, if you really want to.
Taking the other two on you.
How are you?
The Blitzer is really nice and, can definitely, find its place back into the hearts of the troll players.
I know Mike's always liked one. I think he's going to like even more now.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about the Mauler?
Mauler,
get him all
is amazing. He gaining grab it smash and gaining a mat is all he really needed. Otherwise, he's the same beast, but now he's packing a punch more often with a higher mat, and grab and smash is absolutely excellent, allowing us once again to help the war beast gain mat. You can either headbutt or you can throw, and that is essentially allowing us to hit easier, which is something that I always want. And now you could be making the POW 16 or even POW 19 melee attacks with Rage, and then getting off a chain attack to knock down or throw someone somewhere. It's going to really help out your offensive output. And the Mauler is just absolutely excellent for 9 points. I think he's great. I was kind of offended when I first saw 9 points, but after using him, he's definitely worth all 9. The Earthborn Dire Troll is... I think he's still fabulous. A lot of people don't like him as much because you have someone like Wolg to compare him to, and we'll get to that in a second. But let's look at the Earthborn Dire Troll for what he is. For 10 points, you get a mat 6, defense 12, which is an increase from 11, armor 18 beast. He's got a threshold of 10. He's got 32 boxes. That's huge.
Pathfinder.
He's got Pathfinder. He's got still snacking regeneration. He has the excellent ability of elemental communion, which let's go ahead and talk about what it means when you're in water. He's a defense 14, armor 18 beast in water. That's amazing. While within 1 inch of a model, he's a defense 12, armor 20 beast. That's awesome. Or he's a speed 7 beast that has excellent melee capabilities.
Now keep in mind that, you know, water is also rough terrain.
Mm-hmm. Bingo. Absolutely. And if there's
and
rocks.
And he's a pathfinder and he can charge out.
And if there's rocks in the water, he gets all three.
You should make a particular waterfall piece of scenery that you bring to every game. So it's got the obstruction for walls.
Oh, let's go grab some terrain. Yeah, okay. Waterfall. That's like all waterfalls. They're like everywhere. We're
but,
playing in a waterfall.
Well, just keep in mind that you don't go chasing those waterfalls.
God damn it.
Or don't go making phony calls. That's another Weird Al song.
Okay.
God damn it, Weird Al. And then, he only has 2 POW 15s, but that's once again deceiving because he still has adaptation. Which is a really great ability to take
adaptation
the power of weapons.
Dumb. The moment he charges and gets into base to base with an enemy warcaster.
Or even adaption.
Oh, is it adaption? It's adaption. Look at you. Thanks for correcting me.
It's adoption.
Adoption. He adopts. It's really cool when you have like the little weak warcasters with really high POW weapons. Like I believe that the Negra's weapon, is it called Sliver?
Yep, it is.
I think it's POW 8. So when you hit, it's POW 21. Pop. Die, the Negra. And also, you don't have to take whatever you're attacking. All you have to do is,
be near something.
Yeah. And it's melee range. So it did change from 1 inch from before, but you know, you can have an axer in your melee range and take its POW 6 to increase you to a POW 18. So it's really strong, and I really like it.
Are there any POWs in your own army that you would want to steal, like run it up first and then charge their report in?
Yeah, like the Axer, for example, POW 6 okay. makes it two POW 18s. Obviously, our Warlocks have good POWs. Mm-hmm. Borka's got a POW 7, so that's pretty sweet. Borka's got a POW 7, and that's, you know, that's a good one to steal. I think overall, there's just a lot of good things you can take. I think the Earthborn's really solid, and his Animus did change. While it's not as abusable as it was before, it's very adaptable. Oh, look at that. But it is it's really good, and I think that people are kind of overlooking it. The one reason the Earthborn is overlooked, however, is because for 1 point more, you get Molg. Molg became a pretty absurd. For 11 points, you get a Speed 5, Strength 13, Mat 7, Defense 11, Armor 19, Beast. With 5 Fury, he's got a Reach POW 19 with Magical Weapon and Critical Smite, and he's got a POW 17 Open Fist. This guy defines offensive output. Probably the best offensive output in either game.
What do you think about the loss of Are You Gonna Eat That?
The loss of Are You Gonna Eat That will lead to less shenanigans, but in its place, you did gain Overtake. It'll allow him to walk through models or units. Also, a trick that you might want to be able to do is you can charge a model with the shorthand, and then overtake up to gain an additional inch, and then hit with the reach club that additional inch. I think we're going to be able to manipulate the situation so that Molg is getting a better, run at it. I'm not sure how overtake interacts with Epic Madrak's feat yet, but because it's not like a Thresher where it's one attack that generates multiple attacks. You still just make an attack against every model in your melee range. So I'm wondering, do you overtake after every attack? Something that I don't think has been asked yet. But if it does, that can get really gross. I mean, I don't know what to say. This guy is amazing. He gained snacking too. His affinity is the same, where you get to make an additional attack. It's excellent. Runebreaker Scars did change. It's really not that great of an animus still, but it did change into command range. He's command 6, so within 6 inches of him when you cast his animus, it's Warbeast lose their animi. But when your Warlock casts it, like Epic Madrak, it's 9. So you can really shut down some animi if they're really annoying animi. Like if they have their shredders if they have all of their shredders close to you and you don't want someone to be tenacitying, they either have to move them out of combat or they don't get tenacity. Something that I hate because I think that animi is broken. So, wah indeed. But you know what? I can one shot a shredder with Molg, so I'm not really too upset about it.
You can one-shot more than a shredder with Molg.
Yeah, you can. You can one-shot Warlocks with Molg. Onto the Creel Warriors. Excellent vanilla unit. 4-6. Combined attack, tough. POW 10. Mat 5. They're great. The new prayers are also even better, because now, instead of +2 strength, or an additional attack, or +2 inches of movement, you only get 2 options now, but one of them is +2 to attack and damage rolls. Makes them mat 7, POW 12s on a 4-6 unit. That is excellent. Additionally, +2 inches of movement on the advance is really helpful too.
And since you can fill that unit up with weapon attachments and unit attachments, that's a lot of guys that can benefit from that mat bonus.
Yeah, let's talk about the +2 attack and damage rolls on the Caber Thrower, who's the next entry. He's a mat 7, POW 15 that attacks with the buffs, that attacks everyone within a 3-inch line. Now, let's talk about tossing Rage on him and make him a POW 18, or the Stone and make him another POW 19, and then you Fel Call him to Mat 9. So you've got a Mat 9, POW 19 that attacks everyone within 3 inches.
Duh. Well, everybody on a 3-inch line.
Yeah.
It's not Thresher. It's draw a 3-inch line. And
attack. Yeah, whenever you attack, you draw a 3-inch line from this model. So it's really cool, and I'm still also waiting for an interaction with Epic Madrak's feet. Like, do you toss it a bunch of times? Like, what do they have to be? I mean, they have to be in his melee range, I know, but if you have a bunch of models in your melee range, you just make a whole bunch of tosses.
Well, the Caber Toss doesn't target anything.
But Epic Madrak's feet says you make a melee attack against everyone in your melee range.
Yeah, you make a normal melee attack. The Caber Toss is just you draw the line, and that tells you who to attack.
True, but this is a normal melee attack.
The Caber Toss isn't, because you draw a line and then that determines your targets.
It's not a special attack, though.
It's not a special attack.
It's not a normal attack either.
Yes, it is. It's under the Caber. It's an ability of the Caber. When you attack with it, mm-hmm. you draw a 3-inch line. You do have to have...
Oh, I see. You choose your target. Okay, right. So you can't even use it unless somebody's in the half range.
Correct.
Okay, I see. Interesting.
but it definitely can wreck a whole bunch of units.
Yeah.
And,
what about free striking with that stupid thing?
Yeah, free striking. That's pretty funny. And then you've got, the Creel Warrior Standard and Piper. Once again, they're really great. They grant steady, so now you no longer have to have line of sight to them. That's excellent. Stunforge is still a 4/5/6, tough check. And instep changed from a star action that let you move 1 inch to while within 3 inches, while this model's within three.
It's basically just like the Striders do. Basically, you add 3 inches to the leader's command when determining command range, which lets them spread out more. Kind of like it did in Mark I, just with a different mechanic.
It doesn't change the stat. It just changes the formation range.
But the Piper does have to be within 3 inches of the unit commander. Is that correct?
Yes.
So that's, you got people need to remember that.
But still, that's 11-inch command radius.
That is, and it's really excellent. It is. A lot of people complain about them being 3 points, but in such a cheap unit, and the fact that you can spread that steady and stoneforged really, really far, all the way up to, 15 models, I think that for 3 points, it's pretty solid.
Is this an error that they don't have boxes?
Nope, they don't have boxes.
Neither of them have boxes.
They've never had boxes, and neither of them.
Oh no, that makes sense because it's not a leader. It's a standard bearer and a piper. Neither of which are neither are an officer.
The standard bearer is going to be picked up anyway.
Right.
But, yep. So, but you know what? Boxes are unnecessary when you're making 4, 5, 6 tough checks and not getting knocked down. Let's go to the.
You know what? They took the boxes from your leader. They took boxes from the piper
and gave it to the
swordsman.
Swordsman. Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely, they did. Let's go ahead and move on to the Creel Stone Bearer and Stone Scribes. They are even better now. They're 3/4.
I think the biggest change, and I think the only thing you really need to mention is, fuck, they can run now in aura.
They can run in aura, but there is actually – well, that's on the regular unit, yes. That's probably the only thing that is noteworthy. They can run in aura. But when you move over to the UA, what's really cool is this. First of all, the stone warp, you don't have to be within 3 inches of the stone to do it. Before, the UA had to be within 3 inches of stone. Now it's just while within the unit. That's sweet. Second of all, they gain purify. You can't target them with spells. That's pretty hilarious, and I can't wait till the first time someone tries to target them with a spell. Finally, the abilities, instead of choosing one or the other, or the aura or this, you just add this additional effect. It makes it really strong because getting +1 strength and +2 armor is totally worth the 1 point you bring this guy. Also being able to get rid of incorporeal and stealth or making continuous effects expire and making people immune to continuous effects is going to piss Ephiora players off for days to come.
A whole lot.
Absolutely.
Because you can cram a lot of trolls in that area around the Creel Stone.
You can. It's pretty excellent. We move on to the Thumper crew, who is it's a touchy subject for a lot of people. A slamming artillery piece is really great.
What's its rat?
Its rat is 7 when you shoot it.
Overpowered.
Overpowered. Whether or not it's overpowered, it's yet to be determined, but it's pretty damn
good. It's determined.
It's pretty damn good is what it is.
I think considering the range, it's overpowered.
Yeah.
Considering you're going to be shooting it up to 18 inches away.
Yeah, but then you are devoting 2 more Fury, and you do have to have the Beast around, and the Thumper isn't up with your Warlock, and if your Impaler's back there, your Impaler's not doing anything, so then you're looking at a 9-point
model. Well, it's probably run first turn. It's 8 inches upfield. I mean, at least...
Well, still, you probably don't even need the extra 4, though. It's still 14 inches.
Well, I'm saying you do that, but at least then your Impaler can simply walk, get within what's a range
6.
Of 6, and kind of turn so it's in this front arc a little bit.
Yeah, and I've done that. I mean, it has limited my Impaler's use, but once again, the Impaler can then leave whenever things start getting within 14 inches of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because 14 inches is still not short, for the guy. It's certainly not a range 20 POW 18 slam, but
that's true.
It's pretty good. The Commodore still definitely one-ups it, but it should, because it's the Commodore, and it's awesome. The Thumper crew is excellent. If they don't change it, it's going to be excellent. I think it should have, if they wanted to give it like a knockdown kind of ability, I think giving it knockdown and crit slam would be a little less powerful. But it's still really great and a wonderful artillery piece. And once again, a solid model choice in the Troll Army. We move on to Champions, who I can actually understand a debate either way on if they got better or worse. They are 6/10, so they're rather expensive, but it still clocks in at 2 points per champion. A unique thing you can do now is you can bring 3 of them. You used to only be able to bring five. Now you can bring a min unit of three. I've used it. The death triangle is pretty cool. I like it. They lost.
Did you learn that one from the Cador players?
Yeah, from those great bears. Damn great bears. Defensive line, with their lower armor does give them a plus one armor advantage on what they used to have. However, they lost Brothers in Arms, which gave them plus two defense. So champions are going to be a lot easier to hit in this game, which I'm not upset about.
Me neither.
Because I'll tell you why. Because beasts gained mat. Jax gained mat. And I think that the armor is a little more welcome, in my opinion. And then they lost.
My biggest problem with champions was half the time I couldn't hit them with infantry without, you know, stuff that doesn't boost.
Yeah.
I was just missing way too many attacks. At least now I'm hitting them. I mean, at least now I can do something.
You feel like you're doing something, yeah.
And on top of that, meaning, you know, with the loss of screening in the game overall, champions and base-to-base no longer get the plus two defense against ranged either.
Well, so, they didn't get it. Oh, well, yeah. I see what you're saying. Yep.
Screening,
I mean,
right.
Yeah, it was really easy to stack that, maybe even Surefoot to get them, what, armor, defense 16, so their armor was almost irrelevant at that point.
Yeah.
So, definitely lost a little bit of annoyance, but definitely gained a little more survivability on the armor side.
And a pair of Weapon Master attacks.
They do have a pair of Weapon Master attacks. Are there any people who have pairs of Weapon Master attacks?
Essential.
Oh, the Essential?
And the Fallcaller too, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. But it's rare, and it's pretty sweet to have a unit of them.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely hit harder, even when you're stacking the concert bonus.
Every point
you've got to consider
that you spend
this.
On champions is another Weapon Master attack.
Yeah, for 1 point, you get a Power 11 Weapon Master attack attached to a Mat 7 Armor 18 body, essentially.
Or Mat 9 if you decide to Fel Call them.
Yeah, I mean, they will wreck, and I think that in the end, this will give you a larger offensive output. Their mat building was a little ridiculous and led to some really silly assassinations on Warcasters. I think that this is a little more streamlined, but in the end, if we're going to have more beasts and jacks in the game, these guys are going to be able to handle them better than the concerted ones are. So,
do you see yourself taking the trio or the quintuplet more often?
It's really tough. It all depends on my list build. The other day I played six Warbeasts with Borka, and I was only able to fit three champions in. But you know, it's all up to what kind of list I really want to go with. With Madrak, I may bring 2-3 man units. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting way, because I'm never – usually when you buy the full unit, you gain a little discount. But with champions, you don't. So if you want six, you just pay for two mins.
Well, you get a little bit of discount. If you get them in and they reach 3 points, if you get them max, they're 2 points.
They're 2 points apiece no matter what you do.
Oh, that's right. I was looking at leader and two grunts. Three into six is two.
Yeah, they're 2 points apiece no matter what. So it depends on how many you want on the table. It also depends on who your warlock is. But you know what's really funny? A lot of our warlocks don't have unit-wide buffs. So the Fel Caller, yes, by bringing a three-man, you're limiting the uses of mm-hmm. Fel Caller, but you're also being able to spread your unit a little wider. So it's an interesting concept, and you got to really think about it.
You were mentioning with like using Crusher and thing, and you sort of touched on it there. If you only have the three, you're still restricted by the command, but you're the guys who are on the outside of the formation don't lose some of their effectiveness in this.
Absolutely.
Because they're not there to not be able to do anything.
Absolutely. Champions, they're excellent. Fenblades, they're interesting because they lost their cool order, they lost the POW, they lost the speed. A lot of people are mad about those things, but you know what? They're still a 12-14.
No impact attacks or collateral damage.
That's sweet too.
Dumb.
That's cool. It's not that big of a deal. But what I do think is a big deal is that they're just a reach POW 12 unit for 4-6. It's so cheap. And yeah, I know TFG, you know,
they are speed 5. That's their one drawback.
They are speed 5, but they've got the reach.
Yeah.
So they charge 10 inches still. They've got the 10-inch threat. I think they're excellent. I really do. I think that I can see them making their way into certain lists very often, especially with Epic Madrak. Holy God, his feet with them. We've been waiting for this reach on foot unit for a long time. You know, you're popping that feet, attacking a whole bunch of models. I think they're excellent. Moving on to the Long Riders, who recently in this last update got a big help.
They need that taken right back away.
They don't need it taken
they
right
do.
Back away. Why?
Cav do not need 8 wounds.
Why?
Because the point of the game is not Cav. The point of the game is beasts.
The point of the game is this, that if I have a dude and he's on foot and he has 5 wounds, like a Stormblade. Let's say a Stormblade solo has 5 wounds, okay? Then you've got an Ulan solo, and he's got, or an Iron Fang guy, he's got 5 wounds. And then we've got, you know, a Ferox solo, or a Praetorian solo, he's got 5 wounds. When you take a troll off a bison, he has 8 wounds. So when he's on the bison, he should have 8 wounds. That's just the fact. That's the way they've done this game. If you have a medium base, you have 8 wounds for the most part. I know there's the Necrotech who's got 5, but for the most part, you have 8. If you're a small base, you only have, you know, you only have 5. The Manowar, for example, he has 8 wounds on his bison, on his
He's
dude.
A solo. He's not a unit.
Doesn't matter. I'm just saying. This is just the way they've calculated the game.
Yeah, but you look at things like the Ancestral Guardian and the Kovas, both of which break that as well.
They do.
So my point is, the rule can be broken.
That's a very rare. Look at the numbers. You're talking about. There's about 4 outliers in the entire compatibility of both games.
And that, yes, but my point is, there's nothing that says there can't be a 5th.
And what I'm saying is this: that when you have cavalry being speed 8 or 9, you gain. That's a really big deal. The difference between 7 and 8, or 8 and 9, or 7 to 9, is a really big deal. These guys are speed 7. There are people on foot that are this fast. These guys are not the fastest. They need to be able to take some damage. And they're trolls. That's their thing. They're, you know, trolls hit hard and they take a hit hard. Now, they're not, they don't have a lot of finesse. They don't have, you know, they're really clunky. Plus, when you've got a lot of medium bases around, it's tough to, it's even harder to maneuver them. And they're not benefiting from things like the stone, because if you play cavalry the way you play cavalry, or the way people usually play cavalry, is you're flanking with them. You're not running them up the middle. If you run the long riders up the middle, they're just going to get really hammered by a strong center that people should be building in when they play games.
Between the mat 7, the loss of the penalty for slam attacks, and the all the stuff that they do with that, and the impact and that kind of junk, they have more enough offensive output to make up their points worth. Despite their low speed, they don't need the extra health on top of that.
I think they do, and you know what? They have it. And it looks like it's going to stay. And I think they're good. I think they're solid now. They're worth 11 points. For 10 points, you can get 5 champions. The offensive output and the defensive. I mean, they lost an armor. You realize that, right? Like, they used to be armor 18. And they used to have 8 boxes. And they used to be, you know, lots of other things. Well, they also lost a POW. They also lost a POW.
Oh, I don't know. Probably last.
All right, so there's time for them to knock down a 5.
Yeah.
All right. It'll be fine.
They lost a POW, too.
They're going to cut it down to 6.5 just to compromise.
They lost an armor and a POW as well. I don't know if you guys realize that. So, I mean, they got hit.
They still have
places.
Permanent reach. They still have mat 7
slams. Lots of
slams.
Things gained permanent reach.
They have mat 7 slams.
They do, and that's great. That's what they do. They're good at that. They also
they're better slamming than my Urgus.
You know what else they have? They have 8 wounds. The Rune Shapers. They break this mold because they have 5 wounds. That was my 4th one that I was talking about. But they are wizards, and that's understandable. They're really cool.
Are you gonna send in feedback to make sure the Rune Shapers only have 1 wound like the rest of the infantry?
No, they have 5 wounds because they're wizards, but they have a little more constitution.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Uh huh.
Yep. They needed the 5 wounds though. When they had 1 wound before, they were way too expensive. They've got a decent mat, decent arm, and for 4 points, I think they're worth it. Because you're getting 15 wounds for 4 points. I really like the kind of fluffy things they did to them in the change from Mark 1 to Mark 2. Having Pathfinder and Steady is very fluffy. They're, you know, one with the Earth, so they have Pathfinder, and also they're one with the Earth, so they can, like, you know, hold their ground, for example. That's, I think, the reason they have Steady. One really big thing that was a really great change for them is a range 8 instead of range 6 AoE 3 POW 14. It can really help to shred some light armor troops. Now, when I played Josh, he unfortunately was deflecting, having deflection, so it really wasn't as great. But without deflection, I was killing those troops.
Typically, you're only like 1 under what you needed, so
exactly.
It was right there. So that plus 2 just, especially it was only in the splash.
It pushed the curve.
It pushed it over, yeah.
And I think that it's a really great spell. And then having Tremor now, really powerful if I need to knock someone down. Stacked with Confluence, I can have essentially mat 8 Tremor coming at you to try and knock down someone if I really need it. I think they're good. Scatter Gunners. It's a rat 5 spray. That's all you can really say. For 5-8, a rat 5 spray, good enough. And now that Horluck has Fortune back, you're going to see them in a main unit at least in the Horluck armies every once in a while, I believe. There's really nothing more to say about them. The Pig Burrowers have been a touchy subject on and off. The new tunneling, I enjoy. I don't think it's bad. You do the order, and then you replace it with the tunneling marker. Then you move the tunneling marker 5 inches. During your next maintenance phase, you place them 5 inches within the tunneling marker. It's very simple. What's really cool is they can now move. So they go 10 in- – you can place one guy up to 10 inches and then move six. It's a 16-inch threat with a with a range 4 POW 14 weapon. If you can get a knockdown in, they're going to be good. Pair them with those long riders that you said are doing Mat 7 slams. Now you're really being able
or
to –
or anybody under a certain beer-swigging warlock's feet – or not feet, but spell.
There you go. If you can get a melee attack in, that's really great too. So I think that the Burrowers, people are complaining about them. I think they're excellent. And you know what? Let's always go back to their point cost. They only cost 4 for 6 of them. Excellent little hassle or annoying unit. Then you've got Bushwhackers. They're pretty much Mark 1 long gunners. They don't have double tap, but have Bushwhack and Pathfinder and AD and tough. I don't know what else to say. They're 5'8". That's so cheap for range unit in this game. They're excellent. Does anyone have anything to say about that?
Just that the range went up and that disappoints me.
it disappoints you because you get shot now.
Because stupid little Powhatans. Powhatans, a lot of times, is all you need.
Especially against your and my armies.
Yeah, stand still in CRA, plus 4 mat. It's crap. Or rat, rather.
If you do a 2-man, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they're sweet.
And then it's POW 12, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but a unit of Reeves will go in there and just demolish the entire unit.
That has not been in my experience.
Except that then you make your tough roll 1/3 of the time.
Yeah, right, right.
Do you have to destroy to get your second shot?
Snapfire means you have to, I think you have to destroy, you have to box, I think, or something like that. I can't remember.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, c'est la vie. Then we move on to everyone's favorite Fellcaller. He had like 20 pages of abilities before. They really slimmed it down, but they made him really, really smooth. The Fellcalls can now be done anytime during his activation. So you can charge and then do it. You can do it, then charge. You can, you don't have to give up attacks, which is really great because one of his biggest improvements was his rat. He jumped 2 rat and has a POW 10 or POW 12 spray 8 attack. That is huge for clearing out infantry, and the fact that he can war cry something or open road something, and then, or he can open road himself and then walk through a forest and then spray a bunch of guys. Excellent, excellent idea. I think that he's going to be excellent. Still has 2 POW 10 weapon master attacks in Mat 7. No reason not to bring the guy. He's excellent. The Stone Scribe Chronicler is ridiculous. He does pretty much the same kind of stuff that he did, except for now he can tell stories in his command range and he doesn't have to go in order. The biggest deal is Hero's Tragedy. Holy God, this ability is dumb. An enemy model that destroys one or more effective models with a melee attack during its activation is knocked down at the end of its activation.
It's like sacrosanct.
It's sacrosanct. But for free. It's not for free, but it's on a model. You run a Creel Warrior unit at a Carnivian, and the Carnivian just gets really pissed about it. It's really great, and I think that you're going to see a lot of these guys.
I think that one's a little silly. Do it every turn.
Hey, I don't make the rules. I just play them. I think, I think silly? I think Circle's silly. How about that?
You can say that all you want.
I think that Chain Lightning is silly.
Yeah, that's a little silly.
Yeah, Chain Lightning's dumb.
There you go. We got it. You heard it here first. Now we've got the hero. This guy has gotten a lot of heat. I look at him and I don't understand why. I hope people keep complaining about him, because what I've noticed about the trolls is the things I love most, people complain about and then they make them better. So it's it's like, okay, sure. Last time I checked, he's a Mat 8 Reach Weapon Master with Thresher. Tartarus isn't even that. Granted, he can curse, but if he wants to help out his Bane Knights and he's not going to the same unit, he may not be cursing that. Additionally, it's a troll, and he's not a character. He doesn't cost 4 points. The guy is amazing. He's a Command 10 commander. He's fearless. He's tough. He's got Relentless Charge, so he can charge across, rough terrain. Even more important, he gains Pathfinder, so he can now charge over obstacles, which before he could not. He has Retaliatory Strike, which he adds only once, but it's still good. And Tactician Champions is a humongous deal. Being able to move medium bases fluidly through each other is a big deal in a clunky unit that likes to be in base-to-base. The champion players I've seen negate charges to themselves all the time by the base-to-base placement.
Yep.
And I think that this is going to be a huge help. In a tournament, I have picked out a few players that when I play them, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, you can't charge that way because of the way you're in base-to-base. This eliminates that. It's amazing. And now the champion, now the hero can move through them as well. He can just go, ha-ha, and pop through them and have a giant thresher clear out some infantry in the
way.
Does
he make that noise?
Yeah, he does that. And then the champions can do whatever they want. Excellent model. Keep it in your army. Play with him. Don't complain about him because he's amazing. Yes, his armor kind of makes me sad that he's only armor 16, but you know what? He's still great.
You don't think he's overshadowed by the Fel Collar?
No, completely different roles. The hero, first of all, with the Fel Collar losing the fearless ability, the fearless thing, a command tank commander is welcome. Especially because Horthal is still not a commander. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Privateer Press. What the hell?
Hey, you don't make the rules.
I don't make the rules, but what the hell? So having command tank commander around is excellent. He also has way more offensive output than he does. Two Powtad Weapon Masters at Mat 7, or one Reach Weapon Master Thresher at Pow 12. I think they work great in tandem together. And if you're bringing champions, I think the hero is, if you're bringing a full unit of champions and you've got the space to bring the hero, you'll be pleasantly surprised. The Whelps, they changed them so that they have a strong way to get rid of Fury. Do I think it was needed? No, but apparently everyone in the world thought it was needed. I never had problems with my beast frenzying, and when my beast frenzied, it's because I did something great. That's how I play the game. Rarely do my beast frenzy when I'm just hanging around. And I think that these guys are great now, and if you're bringing a lot of beasts, you should bring them. Did they need the change? Not really, but, you know, comfort food is great. I can't complain about it. Then we move on to the last model, Horthal, Long Rider Hero.
Wah.
He did gain – I had two gripes about him. One, he wasn't a commander. Still not a commander. What the hell? He commands all the troops in Metamorphosis. I don't even understand it. But – he did, however, gain two health boxes on his mount. Granted, everyone did, but he still kept his eight dismounted boxes. He lost his ability to give additional die on melee on impact attacks, but that was a little ridiculous, especially when you have crit slam. I feel like he should have a better offensive attack. I know Pal 15 is a lot with Mat 8, but I don't know. I mean, you look at everyone else. You've got Pal 13 Weapon Masters. You've got Pierce. I think that he might be the weakest point in the Troll Army. But when you look what he's got, if that's the weakest point in the Troll Army, then I'm happy. You know, he can still slam. He can handle his own. He's great. And that's my wrap up of the Trolls. I don't know. You guys didn't talk a lot. That's kind of sad.
I don't have much to say.
Not happy with the Trolls, Josh?
I just don't care. I'm getting so worn out.
Tired?
The field test is dragging on for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting... It's running long. I think it's a good thing, though, because they are fixing some stuff. I think there's a few things that they unfixed, like, Long Riders. But, as long as they're willing to keep making changes and stuff, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, as long as the changes aren't taking away boxes from the Long Riders, I think it's great.
Josh, what do you think about the Long Riders?
I think they need to be shorter riders, as in their life boxes.
The life boxes. You never complained about them in Mark 1, and they were better.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I complained about
them. No, you did not. When did you complain about them? I can name a million more cav units that were a billion times better.
I didn't complain about it as much in Mark 1 because they didn't have more life than every other cav.
Okay, well, you can't compare it to every other cav because they are their own unit.
They are cav.
So? They are their own unit. They are trolls on bison. What do you ride? You ride a freaking tiny elk. You should have five boxes. I have you. Okay, why don't you only have three boxes?
Because the only options are 5, 8, or 10.
You think that everyone should have been brought down to light cavalry standards?
Everyone was, except the trolls. Why are they special?
Because they're troll. Because they're speed 7. They're also the only ones that are speed 7.
They're also the only ones that can slam at mat 7.
But they don't have range 12 poison arrow attacks. You can take one. Dude, if even with eight boxes, three dudes can still take out a troll with poison arrows and not be able to get retaliated upon because you're a light cav. Your light cav can harass my troll cav all day long, and we'll kill them.
And you're, yeah.
And are cheaper.
Looking at them in a vacuum like that? Sure. Is that how
well, you're looking at them in a vacuum like that, you're comparing them to other cav units. They are their own unit. They have to be treated as such. They are beautiful.
I'm fine if they're treated by their own unit with five health, just like every other cav.
We have one of those Dyson vacuums. The cyclone chambers.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Man. They have this, do you guys know what the Dyson Airblade is?
I think I've talked about
it. No,
the Dyson Airblade is a hand dryer. Where was I the other day they had one? Anyways, the way it works is this. It's two high-powered, thin, like, flat airwaves, and you put your hands in it, and then you pull your hands slowly up, and the air just takes the water off your hands. It is absolutely excellent. They have them in Time Warner Center, but where was I? Oh, I think I was downtown at, it wasn't Big Daddy's. I don't know where I was, but they had the Airblades. So they're right. Awesome.
Anyway, I think the trolls, there's very few things that I think really need to change, I think, in Horde still. I mean, they're getting there. I think that Kruger's Chain Lightning is one of them. I think that's way too many bounces. The other ones, though, I think Mosh Pit Sacrosanct on the Stone Scribe Chronicler for free, and the Long Rider boxes are the big things that stand out of my mind still in Mark II.
Yeah, some of that stuff is overpowered. What about the underpowered stuff, though? I mean, there are a few things in Circle, I think, that are underpowered or are going to be overshadowed all the time. So I think coming from the other direction, there's still some things that they need to bump up a little bit.
I think those are harder to see because people don't play them as much.
Which is a problem.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
no, I totally agree with you.
Mm-hmm. I think that on the whole, I think Mosh Pit's pretty overpowered. But then when I look at it, and I see its effect on the table when I've played it, it has not been as game-breaking as I thought it was going to be. The thing that I think was the biggest deal, and I don't think the Thumper is as big of a deal as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that's the other one.
I don't think that the 8 health boxes is as big of a deal because it's not a change. And they're still just, they're troll cab. They're hard to kill.
It is a change because you're looking at it compared to Mark One. We can't do that.
How about this? They still die. They still die whenever you charge them. They still get hit. They're still easy to hit. Look at all the cav. They're defense 12. They're the lowest defense, the lowest speed, and they.
But they can also slam. I think that makes up for the defense and speed. And if you're gonna say they can still
die, slam with reach.
They can still die on a hit from getting charged. Well, if you give my Avengers 8 life, they could also still die on a hit from a charge. So why don't we give them 8 out boxes too?
Well, most everything else is slamming isn't going much faster than they are anyway.
It goes faster. Or yeah, I guess it's true.
I mean, unless it's like Circle or something.
Yeah. With the exception of Circle, they're pretty much the fastest slammers. Mm-hmm. And they can do it with a really good mat, especially with a Fellcaller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. But they can't boost.
Well, with
mat 9, I don't think they need to.
Because they're not getting any penalties from it.
Yep.
Yeah, but what's the average?
They're a large base, so they're not slamming.
The average mat is on Jax is mat 7.
But they don't have a 7-inch move.
I mean, you might be spending 11 points on one jack where you can get 5 bodies here. Can do the same thing.
Slayers or Crick's jacks slam speed 6.
You play somebody with
cost like 6 points.
You play someone with a couple heavies up front, you could easily take those heavies and slam them all with your trolls.
You could. Yeah, and that's what they do. I don't think that – what I'm trying to say is when you attack a long rider, notice – okay, how about this? I don't want to fight about it. Whoops, sorry. I don't want to fight about it, but – whenever you play long riders in the future, notice how hard it is to kill them. Tell me how many times those 3 boxes are very significant. I think they're significant enough to make them trolls. I don't think they're significant enough to break them compared to the other cav, because I think that some of the advantages the other cav have are still there. I think that the troll cav, if you keep talking about these slams, like your heavies are out in the front and I just have a bunch of long riders, That never happens. There's usually things in the way, whether it's my stuff, whether it's your stuff. If you're worried about it, you can easily screen your large jacks with infantry and things like that. And while it might take me some overextension to deal with it, if I do want to get that slam with Shakeoff now, the slamming cav is not as big of a deal. But
in your experience, what is it that's killing the long riders?
Anything. They still die. I mean,
yeah, but you can one-shot one with a hit of 25. I don't have anything that can really do that easily or cheaply.
Yeah, and it's not about one-shotting.
It has to be a charge from something that's powerful.
It's usually 15. About 2 charges. It's usually 2 charges from an infantry model that kills them. Kills one cav. Like two, Like,
all right, let's put it this way. Okay, right now, with 8 wounds, you have to have a damage roll of 25 to kill him.
Two power 11s
kill him. Hold on, I'm not done. Damage roll of 25. Taking off 10 for the charge, because they're assuming not weapon mass, so you're talking about POW 15s. Okay, it has to take a POW 15 to kill him on the charge with one guy.
Correct.
All right, let's look at a regular cab with 5 wounds. Now we're down to what, a 22 to kill him on the charge, correct?
Correct.
Well, that's a roughly.
Oh, you're saying if they had 5.
Right, yeah. That is a that's a charge from a POW 12. That is most infantry in the game.
That's correct.
Okay, so you've just, your 3 wounds, which you claim are insignificant, put them right out of the killing range of most infantry in the game doing it by themselves.
Correct.
And I don't think that that is a balanced change to give them.
But that is a troll trait. That is, if you line up all the factions, the trait the trolls have the best is constitution. That is their best trait. They have tough, they have, you know, more boxes.
I don't
think
that anymore. I mean, it's their offensive output is so significant.
That is their second best trait.
I don't think it's, I think it's their first bet. I think that the stackability of their offensive buffs and the fact that they can just crush things is their biggest strength. I think their second biggest strength is their survivability.
If you line up all the factions, I think that Cawdor still has a larger offensive trait than they do.
That may be.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, I think, and I also think their constitution is still greater because the increase of health on their beasts, their higher armor, I think that that leads to a, yes, they have high output, a high offensive output. They should. I mean, that's their second. It's a very close second in my opinion, but I think that the troll cav having 8 boxes, while you're right, if they're getting charged, they are, you know, surviving more. They're also getting charged more than any of the cav are.
What, besides that right there, what do you think are the downfalls of the troll faction?
The downfalls of the troll faction? They're slower, obviously. They have poor range attacks, for the most part. They can't, like, eliminate an army at range. Like, I look at, you know, like, Circle or Legion, and they can literally just, like, eliminate an army at range. Or, like, Signar, especially. Oh, my God. What else? They have poor spell casting. I mean, I don't – speed and mobility, I think, are two different things. Because, you know, I think that while Circle's fast, they also are mobile, being able to mitigate terrain, being able to place around and things like that. I also think their cost is their largest, another weakness. Like, for example, I don't have any 4-point beasts. Mm-hmm. I don't have an 8-point or 7-point heavy. I don't have, you know, things like that. Additionally, just like Menoth, they are sometimes hampered because we talk about all of these great buff stacking that they have, but you know what? When I play Legion, they pretty much bring all offense. When I play Trolls, I bring a third buff and then 2/3 offense. So if the offense, if you're able to alpha strike me and eliminate my offense by half, that means instead of having, you know, if you eliminate 1/3 of my army and it's none of it's the buff stuff, now I have 1/3 of my army being ready to attack against a full army that's ready to attack. Compared to if I had 2/3 of my army that's ready to attack against one, you know, a whole army that can attack.
So you're saying your output is more concentrated in particular models?
Absolutely. That's the way buffing works. I mean, that's the way, it's the same thing with Menoth. Like,
well, I mean, even taking into account the cost, I mean, you're still concentrating a lot of eggs in baskets, I think.
Absolutely. And when you take the higher cost and you match it with the high amount of points spent on buff units, you are really limiting yourself. Because if I pay 9, you know, if I pay 10 points for an Earthborn, and I'm trying to buff it, well, I really can't buff Earthborns with units because we have poor beast buffing. But if you take like 10 points of champions and I take a Creel Stonebear with UA, you know, now I'm looking at 15. If I take a Chronicler, that's 17. If I take a Fellcaller, that's 20. And if I take a Hero, that's 23. That's a lot of good stuff. You know, that's a lot of great stuff. But that's also 23 points. I mean, how much – that's no beasts. That's 23 points with no beasts in an army. That's pretty much – I add the beast and then I have an army. But all I have is one offensive unit and that entire, all that stuff. Yes, the hero can be offensive and he is very offensive. And the Fellcaller can be, but that's still another 10 points that I'm spending.
Do you find that you really need the Fellcaller as often as you did Mark 1?
No, not at all. The Fearless mechanic was really huge for the Fellcaller. That was stupid. I was like, oh, my Creel Warriors never care, ever. And the fact that he can't buff ranged attacks anymore also limits his uses.
It just seems like you have a bevy of ways to increase your mat attack rolls, and so maybe that plus 2 for Warcry isn't necessarily as good as it used to be, relatively speaking.
Yes and no. I think that also, I think there's a shift downward in defense because of more jacks, more beasts, and the weak and infantry getting a little bit weaker. Like we said, cav losing boxes. One attack will generally do it a little better than than two attacks used to have to. So I think that I don't think it's as necessary.
Okay. I think this is the disagree with Jason episode.
No, it's,
and
it's,
I mean,
fine.
The reason I say is because I look at Protector, which is the same way, only a little more defensive bent. And yeah, I can take a lot of stuff and buff my guys, and yeah, they become defensive. And yeah, it does reduce what I have to actually do the output, but I still don't feel any fear putting them on the table. I think that it's...
But guess what another trait of Protector it is? Cheap stuff. It's the exact opposite of what I said about Trolls. Protectorate has the cheapest stuff in the entire game. And I have arguably, next to Cawdor, the most expensive stuff in the entire game. Creel Warriors and Fenblades and Pygmy Burrowers definitely push the limits. They really do. The fact that they made them so cheap is what really makes me happy, because now I can bring a little bit of filler. I can bring a bubble wrap, you know? I can bring a bubble wrap unit to essentially protect my heavy beasts from getting charged first, because they're going to be slower. They're going to be getting charged first. That is a great thing.
So you say that, but you've got so much stuff that increases speed. I don't think that you getting charged first is nowhere near a guarantee.
How do I increase the speed of a unit of champions?
I'm talking about your beasts. You're talking about worry about your beasts getting the charge. I'm saying it's just as easy for you to get the pounce as it is for someone else.
Correct, but it's more likely that they will have this quote-unquote bubble wrap unit, because they are spending less points, usually. Also, you have to understand, it's a lot harder to maneuver a troll army because of the size. It's very big. It's not very easy to move things around.
I tell that to my wife all the time. She never believes me.
I know. And now you understand that when it's real big, it's tough to maneuver. I mean, and being the little guy like you are, you know that it's easier to get around, you know? It's like wrestling a walrus. I don't know. But it's let me go ahead and make a statement that maybe I haven't said. Trolls are the top half of all factions in both games, I think. In my opinion. I think that Trolls got the biggest buff from Mark 1 to Mark 2. They came out amazing. They make me so happy. I've been, and I hate to say it, I mean, I've been playing Trolls since day one. I have been struggling to play well with Trolls. Like, I remember the first time we met in a tournament, Dave, it was that Epic Madrak versus Epic Lilith game. Mm-hmm. And I had just so many points of stuff, and you had like twice as many things with better offensive output. I just looked at it, I was like, there's no way I told you when we set up, there's no way I can win this game. I got obliterated. And there was just I had no chance. I feel like that happens a lot. You've really got to push yourself with Trolls and use these niche kind of things in Mark 1 to make yourself win. And now in Mark 2, I don't feel that at all. Also, I feel like my beasts can contribute to the game in a much more positive way without bringing, you know, Epic Horluck, or without bringing Epic Madrak and being able to warpath things around. Without bringing specific war beast things, I can actually manipulate the game positively with my war beasts.
All right, Josh,
mm-hmm.
You're the odd man here. Who's right? Who's right? Me or Jason?
What does that even mean? What are you right about?
Yeah, well, yeah. What's the context?
In general.
What does that know?
If you're gonna ask me silly questions like that, I'm just gonna say Jason.
Jason's right.
Great. Thanks.
But yeah, they're excellent. They're excellent. I'm really happy with them, and I should be.
Hey, Josh, what's my name?
Umer Miners, that's what your shirt says.
Yeah. No, what's my name?
Dave.
Okay. Now from the magic of editing. Shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would agree with you. I think the Trolls are definitely at the top. I think they're above the Circle.
The more I keep looking at Circle, I think Circle is fine. I think they're getting good stuff in Mark II. Little things like and different warlocks and whatnot make me think the Circle's not as top tier as I thought it was like a couple weeks ago. Still pretty good, still really good.
I think the thing about it comes down to this with Circle. I think Circle handles War Machine better than Hordes does.
I think so.
Or the Trolls does.
Yeah, I agree.
Perhaps, yeah. But I think the Trolls damage output, I mean, they can mm-hmm. just walk in and wreck face. Yeah. Circle has to dance around, kind of stay away from you and play with stuff. The Trolls go in and wreck your face.
Yeah, I think the Trolls are more likely now to not have a bad matchup because of the adaptability that they've gained. The weaker points that they had, they kind of compensated for with most Warlocks.
Okay. I want to go on to a slightly different topic. We mentioned stuff, like you mentioned stuff you've seen last games. You and I actually both last Wednesday played some Hordes games against the Retribution.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't played against Retribution a whole lot yet.
All I've played was that one game, and I think the two proxy battle boxes that we played against each other. Okay. I don't remember playing an actual game against Retribution except for yesterday, a few days ago.
I played a little bit before, but I played against Feeble's Kalissa list. And it was one of those really mean lists against War Machine, mm-hmm. and I happened to be playing Hordes, which gave me an advantage out of the box there a little bit. But, you know, Kalissa, a bunch of mage hunters and that kind of stuff. And it was really mean, and I played Absolonia, and damn, it was fun. I had Legionnaires because I needed, like, as Jason was putting it, a bubble wrap unit. But I could put Carnivius on them, or Carnivore on them, making them mat 8. Which meant they could hit those little dancing elves, like the mage hunters, mm-hmm. the strike force, really well. It was just a lot of fun. It was actually a small game. We only played 25, and it's been a while since I played like a 500-point game, so it was interesting to play something that small. But yeah, I played a Carnivian, a Rake, and a Tariff.
Nice.
And the game ended when the Tariff, under Plain God, threw the Chimera into Kalissa. One-handed throw, so that the Carnivian could walk over and eat her.
That's pretty awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a bunch of that game, and it was...
The Fury management with two Shepherds in Absolonia was dumb.
Yeah. Must have been pretty easy to manage your Fury, at least.
Yeah. No, I could... at least one beast per turn was getting all of his Fury completely wiped off. Dumb. Because the Shepherd doesn't have to be in your control radius to let you force anymore, mm-hmm. at one point I had one running around the flank just so it could extend its command radius up near Kalissa.
Oh, really? You just have to have...
Yeah, him
if,
and the other
If you're in here. Its command, it's like you're in your control for forcing only.
Yeah. So really, there's a lot of... I mean, it doesn't work that well, but like you could have a Shepherd doing that with... Well, no, the Shepherd has the Beastmaster, right? Mm-hmm. So actually, yours is even more compact than, say, the Circles is, where you have to have stones to leech the Fury off.
Oh, but
so
you can't,
can still do that little thing, yeah.
But you can't pull Fury from him.
No, but the Shepherd can.
Yeah, Shepherd can, yeah. But so he can force and pull.
But you can't, but Absolonia can't take
Correct.
The Fury off.
Correct,
yeah. Okay, that's an interesting change.
So it's sort of like a little, kind of like a lesser Warlock running off by itself.
Yeah, that's really frail as hell.
Oh, absolutely.
It is, but it was still a good game. He was able to get off the, uber-charged... I'm so horrible with the names.
Sentinel?
No, Sentinels? the one that boosts strength and combo strikes.
Right?
Manticore.
Oh, is it the Manticore?
Yeah,
plus 3 strike.
He Manticore charged my Carnivian with Power Charger. But with Spiny Growth, I survived by 2 boxes.
Wow.
And Absolonia feeded next turn.
That's awesome. I love that Carnivian. I really do. I don't think he's undercosted. I think he's amazing. I'm sorry. He's so survivable.
He's cool.
His output is so high, too. It's dumb.
His 10-inch spray is what let me cap the leader of the Strike Force unit.
10-inch spray is so good. Yeah.
But it was really good, but it was fun because I got to see the elf some more. How'd your game go against him? I didn't see the end.
Yeah, I played Doug, who I think was in episode 2, maybe? Way
no,
back
No, it was
when...
like it was in the teens.
Was
he
it in the
he
teens?
Did our alchemy stuff.
Yeah, he and Andy had come on. So, yeah, anyway, I was playing Doug, Necromancer 120. And, I take that back. This was the second real game of Retribution. I played Explosivo at War Machine Weekend and a Mega Metal. But anyway, I was, who did I have? Did I have
Kruger? You were playing Mozart.
Oh, that's right. I had Mozart because I'd only used him like once or twice before. But I was really trying to get the whole Wolves of Ouroboros, Warwolf, Reeves combo package thing going, and I wasn't doing it that well. And I was concentrating on using that too much because I left everything else just off on the side. I was barely doing anything with it because I really wanted to get those stupid Sikkim charges in with the Wolves and all this. But his Mage Hunter Strike Force just picked apart my Reeves over the course of 2 turns, and I couldn't hit them with the Reeves in return. And it was kind of funny because we both had the Mirage spell, so we were miraging things on both sides. It was kind of funny. But in the end,
oh, he's playing Gareth?
Yeah. So in the end, he was able to pick apart my infantry, and he caused my Wolves Ouroboros to run at one point, to flee, rather. So they were sort of in the way, and I didn't get my beasts up there like I should have, and he eventually just killed Mozart with a Halo Cannon from the Phoenix.
Wow.
Those things are so sci-fi still in my mind, so when you call it the Halo Cannon, you know, comparing it to the video game, that makes it even more sci-fi. So I can see the laser beam just shooting out of this jack, just obliterating this bold blind man.
It's like, you know, the Final Fantasy game, like in the kind of a little bit tech setting, but
yeah,
not sci-fi,
yeah.
But then all of a sudden it casts a summon and this giant space station
yes.
comes down from the cloud
right.
Unloads a barrage of orbital lasers.
You know, the space station that was just hanging out there.
Right, waiting for you to summon
Yeah, while you're fighting dragons.
Oh, they finally found the material. Let's go
there you go,
have the... Yeah.
So in the end, I just didn't use Mozart well enough. I'm still trying to get the hang of him. I've only used him once or twice. But Crevasse was kind of neat on him. I was able to pick apart some things. But unfortunately, I destroyed a Sentinel or two, which then got their Vengeance movement and their Mirage movement. So Vengeance goes off in the maintenance phase, so they move 3 inches, kill the Werewolf and something else. And then Mirage goes off in the control phase, so they did an extra 2 inches. And so they got an extra 5 inches on me that turn. That was pretty bad.
I love the Sentinels. They're my favorite thing in that army. I hate the Retribution. I really do.
As in you think they're very good or they're bad?
Not talking about how good they are. I just hate, I think they look dumb and I can't.
You don't like the
Sentinels. I'm trying to appreciate them and I really can't. I really like the Sentinels, but other than that, I mean, I just can't get behind them. I think their jacks are stupid. Their solos are so, like, either so great or so horrible. Like, I don't know, they're very polar. That army is very polar, I think.
Well, they're elves with guns. That's pretty polar right there.
I'm just saying, like, it's either really good or really bad is what I mean by polar. I think that it's...
Oh, we know what you mean.
I think it's kind of disappointing.
So, like, polar pop?
I think that War Machine and Hordes in Mark II got a nice balance. For the most part, most things are pretty fun to use.
Well, let's...
Are pretty good to use.
I see where you're going with this, but let's be honest. It was the first Mark II stuff.
Exactly. Not only was it the first Mark II stuff, but it never had a Mark I stuff.
Exactly. I think that it'll be interesting to see their new stuff as expansion. So, like, next year, I think.
I agree. I'm excited for that.
I think around 2011, when their stuff starts coming out, assuming we're not getting another War Machine book at the end of the year, I don't think we would.
Oh, boy, I hope not.
But I want to see them kind of mature. Mm-hmm. And basically, I think they've got some top and bottom, and they're going to get, I think, a bunch of middle.
I agree. I think their jacks need some help. I think their jacks kind of suck, too.
I think that they might go the protector route a little bit, and, you know, they've got the Arcanus, but maybe get a couple other jack buff model units.
Maybe, yeah. I think they need to really – I feel like they talked about how great their technology was, and I understand that with, like, how their guns work, right, and things like that, but – they don't really show the technology other than just by, like, oh, look at our jacks with force fields.
I mean, they got big power gloves. Yeah. Okay, but Signar has storm staff things.
Right. Yeah.
They shoot lightning. That's pretty high. That's basically a laser gun.
No, lightning's better than a laser gun. Like, how is a storm with Pow 10? Lightning. Like, lightning just murders
it's a
people.
Little lightning bolt.
It's ridiculous.
It's just a little static. You know, they rub a balloon on their head and put it on the wall.
What's the name of that, the ball thing
It's a Van de Graaff machine, okay. I think.
There you go.
That's what they're getting.
I knew Josh would know.
Yeah, there was that sketch in the note quarter with the storm shelter. Well, around here we have something called the Magic House. It's like a little thing you take your kids and they have science experiments and stuff, and they have a huge Van de Graaff generator.
Mm-hmm. You can touch it in your hair.
Yeah, I think everybody has a picture of them touching it with their hair extending.
Cool.
Very cool.
You usually can't tell whenever Flanger touches it, but your hair's been flat lately.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm disappointed. It's so like long. I didn't realize you were this short. I thought you were taller.
No, it's really long. I need to get it cut. But yeah, playing against Retribution with Hordes has been interesting. I've played a few games, and I don't know. I think they're weak as far as an army goes.
I think it's really going to depend. I think they have some really interesting combinations that are. If you bring the rock to their paper, and yes, I'm bringing that analogy back out of the gutter, you can get curb stomped.
Yeah.
But there are equal number of bad matchups. Like we just said, this Mage Hunter army versus Hordes. Well, I had some AoEs. I was able to kind of deal with stuff.
And imagine and
his Mage Hunters, they don't have CRA. They shot at my Legionnaires, which were buddied up, and they got to roll eights to kill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And against you, like, you brought a lot of infantry, which hurt you, because the Mage Hunters are great at killing infantry.
Mm-hmm.
But against, like, if you brought, like, a War Beast army, like, what are Mage Hunters going to do?
Yeah, a Kyalist?
Right.
Yeah,
good luck.
Now, granted, you got to make sure she doesn't get shot by the Phantom Seeker Bolts, or Phantom Hunter Bolts.
Well, that's another thing.
She's got 16, though. They're only Rat 6. So it's like...
Yeah, that's true. The Phantom Seeker really sucked, though, because it was kind of a bad matchup in the sense that there was a force that could use a block line of sight, but it didn't care because of Phantom Seeker. I could throw Pillars of Salt out there, but it didn't matter because it could shoot right through them. He was able. He had a lot of stuff to mitigate what I could throw out.
You had to get a solid crevasse in there.
Yeah, and
which is tough to do.
Yeah, and since he was wiping out my infantry, I didn't have a whole lot to Sands of Fate into. I ended up having to use my druids to wipe out my druids for crying out loud to even Sands of Fate forward.
And that's why you need a World Warden with Moshar, because you trample and then you crevasse and then they die.
Sure.
Because that's ridiculous.
It is Mosar, though.
Oh, Mosar. Sorry. That I,
Moshar.
I'm going to say this.
Mopar.
Rational.
Here we go. You ready?
Ready.
Wold Wardens are better with Mosar than they are with Kruger. My opinion.
Crevasse is only 8 inches, so that hurts. But if you can get him up there, it can hurt, yeah.
It hurts. And that spells dumb. Because Chain Lightning can potentially get 2 Pow-10s off at worst.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you hit.
Yeah, well, the difference is Crevasse, actually, you have to destroy the first model.
You
or
do.
Box it or whatever. But
is it a Pow-12, though?
It is. Well, I know the spray is Pow-12. I imagine the first hit is also a Pow-12.
It's pretty sweet. And it removes from play, right?
I think after you destroy it, removes from play.
So you would get tough checks?
I think so. Dust to Dust, I think, immediately returns from play. Or removes from play. I think. Because I shut down my computer, so I don't know.
Cool.
Okay, then.
Well, there you go.
Anything else for today's episode?
Trolls are the best.
No. Are we talking about the Mark II Prime next week?
I suppose so.
Shit. it's already out. No, it's out on the 20th.
Wednesday,
no,
right?
It comes out on Wednesday.
Oh, no, that's right. Wow, we're already going to be on that, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We might do it next week. We might take a week to look at it and digest it.
There's not anything changed,
yeah,
apparently. A lot of people have been reading it. They say that not much has changed.
Really?
Trencher's points changed. Yeah.
I've only heard of two things, and they're both in Signor.
What are they?
Sentinel got Shield Guard, and I think Sentinel
the
got something else.
The Sentinel got Shield Guard?
Yeah. I want to say got something else, but that may not be right. But yeah, the Trencher's also went down.
That's pretty sweet.
That's, wow, okay.
It's got a shield.
So,
okay. I don't know. I don't know.
So does the Revenger.
So the Templar has Shield Guard.
Yeah, there you go.
We didn't.
Oh, yeah, there'll be new jacks. Yeah.
Did we talk about what they do?
No, we didn't.
Real quick, what's your favorite? Who's your favorite?
Not mine.
Not mine?
Not mine either.
Mine.
Kador 1?
Yeah, he's awesome. He has sustain attack. That's ridiculous.
And beat back. Does he have assault?
No, I don't think he has assault, so. But he's got rate of fire 2, range 10, pal 15.
And you said he had beat back, right? So he has
beat back on his gun.
Then you have crit slam on it too? Or does he not?
No.
Okay, I thought he
had. I don't know, maybe he does. I don't know, but he has sustained attack on his saw, and that's awesome. Holy God.
I think the Signar one's going to be interesting. I think 2 suppressing fires. I mean, it's not great, but that's enough to block charge lanes.
I think double.
That's a 6-inch wide line you can't cross.
Even more than that, because you only have to leave just less than
a
base in between.
I think double rapid fire is really sweet, because you could roll, you could essentially get 6 shots, and you don't have to take them at the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You like pop, 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 pop. I'm happy he doesn't have strafe. That's cool.
Corruptor's kind of cool because one of his 3 special shots makes one of your guys an arc node for me.
But it keeps him on the table, so you can't use
for a turn.
You're right, so you can't use that to clear him out of the way.
No, and you have to use its line of sight, so you have to hit something in the back line if you.
The Corruptor is ridiculous. I don't even understand what's going on.
I don't. It's like it seems a little hodgepodge to me. I'm not a big fan of it. But
we were way off base on that. There was no poison there, was there?
No, I don't think there was. No.
Yeah,
apparently, that's some alchemical bile fluid BS.
Yeah.
Why don't you like the Templar? Might I ask? He's very vanilla.
I think that's it.
He's amazing, I think.
I don't know. I'm probably gonna see it. That's the big thing. It's so big. It's armor 21 and reach over the Crusader,
for
but you're
how
paying
much?
A couple more points.
Two?
One or two. I can't remember.
It's 8 points.
Oh, I thought from what I read, it sounded like it was just a small Devastator.
You're thinking of the light that we know is coming out.
Oh, what are you
out.
Talking? What's the Templar then?
The Templar is the heavy. It's a shield, reach, chain.
Oh, with the
weapon.
Big mace thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought that was something else for something.
You're getting a mini Devastator.
Oh, Vigilant is
the
Vigilant. Small one, yeah.
The Vigilant is a light jack on a devout chassis with 2 open fists, and they have each one has a shield.
Did I miss this?
Probably.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
And it's plastic. So is the Firefly.
They're
so
all plastic.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
But question.
But they aren't in trios in the box.
Does Kador get a light jack?
I doubt it. That's
I doubt it.
So 2 doubts. Okay. I don't know. I feel like a yes. I just, for some reason, I feel like it's a yes.
It'd be interesting to see it.
What they might get a newer Berserker. And what I mean by that is a heavy that they make a little bit lighter.
What about like a gun platform kind of light? Where it's kind of like more like a gun bunny? Where it's not like a big Hogan Kador.
I don't know, because the big thing about Kador is their cortexes are so rare, they want huge, giant armor to protect them, because they don't want their cortexes to get destroyed.
So I think it would be even unlikely for them to have, like, a lightjack on a heavy base, you know, like the Seraph or the Shadowhorn or something like that. I think even that's unlikely.
You think Shadowhorn's a light?
Well...
Is it that weak?
It's pretty fragile. It's 17.
Oh, yeah. It's Pow 13s, right?
Well, what about the Berserker?
It's easily... Yeah, it's got low armor, too.
Slag Troll has Pow 13s.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. I was gonna say they could get a Man O' War, but I mean, like the Protector's getting Man O' War stuff too. So
no,
it's kind of
Man O' War is not a light jack. I hate when people say that. especially now in Mark II, they die pretty easily. Especially the shock troopers. Oh my god. Or not, or especially the demo core. Mm-hmm. I love the shock troopers.
It'll be interesting to see what Cutter does get. Maybe they don't even get a second jack.
No. Not possible.
Never know.
Nope, they're getting one. That would make me so mad. I love jacks. Oh, I'm so excited.
You'd be one jack off.
Oh, you said jack off. You like to do that. I've been painting my jacks. I'm really excited because they're coming out.
I saw you had the white scheme going. The pictures you threw up look pretty good.
Yeah, the pictures actually.
Do you have any on the blog yet?
Yeah, I put that on the blog. Okay.
Put some more on the blog.
I will.
Josh, where's your next blog post?
It's been a while. I actually have one written up, but it's kind of bland and I don't like it, so I might rewrite it all.
I'm trying to paint little army groups. Like, I'm going to have, like, my next one is going to be Epic Eurusk with a Spriggan and a Devastator. Or no. Yeah, a Devastator. And then the next one will be a Berserker. Well, it'll be Epic Butcher with a Berserker, Drago, and a Destroyer, I think.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to when we start playing games so we can write things about the games we're playing. It, like, gives us more meat.
You talk about Fight Club. We play games.
We can play Wednesday.
Yeah, I know.
I'm bringing my Cotter. Oh, my God.
I'm not cool enough for Fight Club.
You can play Fight Club.
Well, apparently we're elitist and all that crap, so.
We're not elitist. We're playing everyone.
We think we're better than everybody.
Dave, I'll play you.
I can't. I'm sorry. I'm not in Fight Club.
Actually, you can.
I'll play Wednesday.
You can play it on the exhibition games.
No, we can play anything.
Well, you could always play me. I'm actually being sarcastic and just a jerk.
Dave,
let's play on Wednesday. 25-point Mega Battle.
Maybe.
Do it. Done. That's all. That's the show.
I'll play Trolls.
Okay. I'll bring my Trolls if you want to play them.
All right. Does anybody got anything else again for this episode?
I don't.
Are we finally done?
We're finally done.
This drug on.
It really did. I apologize to the listeners. I was horrible. Except for the Trolls were great, though.
They made up for it.
Yeah, they did.
Sorry for your shitty performance. Jason, your Longmire's are losing 3 wounds. See you, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2009 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided courtesy of Joshua Salter.